Microphone, there we go. Can you hear me now? I'm really thankful for this opportunity to talk to you again tonight, and I'm thankful for Randy's lesson this morning. You know, he reminded us we're all involved in work here together. There's work that we can all do, you know, spiritually and physically. And, you know, we've been talking about some things around the building this week, and I'm really excited about that. And one of those things is we're going to add like 30 new poles in the parking lot, and we're going to paint them to match the parking lot. That way they'll be, you know, nice and black, and they'll be kind of like a little obstacle course, you know, out there. But I thought it'd be something new and exciting for us. We do have some things going on, but I just wanted to say I really appreciate their support and the support of the other deacons and all the members for the work that's going on here. And then there's always plenty for us to do. This lesson is kind of a continuation, that should say, the way, part two, a lesson that I started last month. And so this time I'm having some little bit of visual effects here, so I'll try to coordinate. I kind of was out there with Randy out on the limb there, of the limb of technology. And so I'll try to muddle through this. But anyway, last month my lesson was talked about the way. And we're going to look at a few verses kind of as a reminder of what we talked about, kind of spark our memory. Looks like it could be a road around here with the trees. And of course, I don't know if we have any streets that look that nice without potholes and cracks. Hey, look at that, it works. And the key verse that we had used in my sermon was Proverbs 14:12. There's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And I don't know where this sign is at, but I think I've been on trips like this. You know, you're driving, and all right, which way do we go? And this sign reminds me of a trip that we took to California one time, and we have a kind of first-generation GPS. And obviously, they didn't think of get all the bugs out when they made this model. And you'd be in California, and you'd be driving like 75 miles an hour in the left lane of the freeway, and it'd say, turn left now. And you're like, and you know, or you're like, turn left in 20 feet, and you're going 75. Oh, that was our turn. So it would constantly say, recalculating, constantly. So then we would make another turn, and it's all right, turn left in 20 feet. Oh, and you'd go, every time you'd turn, it'd say, recalculating. So we'd be going all over the place and didn't know which way to go, kind of like this sign. But when we talked about this verse as a way that seems right to a man, that way means a path of life, how a person chooses to live their life, their direction of where they want to go through this life. And so it all depends which way you want to go. If you wanted to do things your own way, or if your goal is to not go to heaven, then you would, you know, choose the way that seems right to you. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. So the difference is here is that the fool is a person who makes decisions and choices their own way, by their own intellect, without God's counsel. And the one that is wise is the one that listens to God and listens to the wisdom and the counsel of God to make their decisions, to make their choices, and that's what makes them wise. Proverbs 10:23 and 24, that we all know. I know, Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. Correct me, O Lord, but with justice, not with your anger, or you'll bring me to nothing. So what Jeremiah is saying here, it's not in a man to kind of make our own destiny, to make our own choices in life all on our own if we want to be pleasing to God. If we want to get to heaven, we can't do that just on our own, just by making our own choices, just by making living the way that we want to without God's counsel, without His direction, without His instructions. So he's asking here for God to help him out. This passage, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, another one that we had read last month. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I was thinking about this verse today, and I was thinking about how kind God was to put it this way, to write it this way. Because when you think about it, he's kind of saying, well, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. But when you really think about the comparison, where is the comparison? You have us right here, then you have the creator of the universe, right? How close our thoughts, how close are our ways compared to God's ways? You know, there's no comparison. It's like be us talking to an ant and say, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, you know, and my ways are higher than your ways. That's what it's like. You know, we're the ant and, you know, God is the creator, but he said it so kindly not to, you know, to make us feel bad, but for us to realize, you know, who he is, what his intellect is compared to ours. A couple other verses that I like about this. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil, and it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. And you'll see a comparison, something similar in a lot of these verses. It'll say, do not be wise in your own eyes. Do not be, and it'll say, your own eyes. So what it's saying is, you think you're smart yourself. You think you have wisdom yourself in your own eyes, compared to what is the real wisdom that you have in God's eyes. So you're saying, do not be wise in your own eyes. So if you're using yourself to judge how smart you are, then that's not a good comparison. You know, so I'm saying, well, I'm smart because I have wisdom myself and all my intellect, and I'm smart enough to make all my own decisions, my own choices, to direct my own way, to make my own paths. That is all in your own eyes, and God is saying don't do that. So in this verse, he's saying you have to have trust in the Lord with all your heart. So you're changing your decision-making and your choices to his. And that trust involves faith and involves belief. And when it says lean on your own understanding, that lean is that, okay, I have to make a choice. So which way do I go? I'm leaning towards making a choice based on my own intellect, my own wisdom, instead of leaning towards, well, what does God want? The word way defined, the Greek word is hodos, if I pronounce that right, and it means road, basically means road or a route to a destination, a course or a path. It means a vehicle whereby to get to a certain location or destination. And oftentimes the word path is often used instead of the word way. Both words are used literally or figuratively and are used in the Old and New Testaments both ways. Both are also used as a process, method, or a system by which something is done. If used figuratively, it can refer to either good or evil, such as the way of righteousness or the way of evil or of death. And it's used, you know, throughout the entire Bible from cover to cover in both ways, but I think by looking at If you looked at all the thousands of times that the word way or path is used in the Bible, I think it's used more figuratively than it is literally. So when we think about the meaning of the word way, we concentrate about that, you know, just concentrate about a route to a destination, a path. You know, Mike had talked in a lesson a few weeks ago about an Old Testament verse. It says, teach me the old ways, teach me thy path. And from this word way, it had led to other words that we use, like freeway, you know, highway. The word way, it's spelled W-E-I-G-H, weight, all those things come from this word, originally came from this word way. And there's a lot of verses, especially in the Old Testament, that use the word way or path, either together or instead of each other, like Psalms 25, a Psalm of David. Let me know your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. So it's kind of the same word, basically the two different ways of saying the same thing. Teach me your ways, your method, your system. Teach me your paths. Which way do you go? How do you do this? Those type of things. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. Another one that I like is in Psalms 86, starting in verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and will glorify your name forever. For your loving kindness towards me is great, and you will have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. And we don't have time, unless you wanted to be here for another couple of days, but there's so many hundreds of verses that are just like this throughout Psalms, throughout Proverbs, that the writers are saying, teach me your ways, God. Show me your method. Show me your process. I'd like to kind of switch our focus to the New Testament and look at some verses there that kind of follow this direction. In the book of Acts, in Acts 18, here we see these verses 24 through 26, and it talks about Apollos. And if you notice, we start reading verse 24, it says, now a Jew named Apollos at Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak up boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And I think this is just very interesting how it uses descriptions like verses like this, the way of the Lord. It didn't say, well, they taught him about, you know, God's plan for salvation. They taught him about, you know, the history of God or the history of the Old Testament. And they taught him about the way of the Lord. So what did that involve? What is the way of the Lord? They taught him, he had been instructed in the way of the Lord. Then they explained to him the way of God more accurately. I just thought that was very interesting how the Bible puts it in that way. And Thea used the word way again. How it puts it in that way that he was taught the way of God. So when we think about that, the way of God, think of it as a direction. Think of it as a road to God or a system that God has. And the verse that kind of had me started on this whole idea is right here in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And this is talking about Saul before he became the Apostle Paul. It says, now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And when I first read this verse, I thought, well, that's kind of interesting that the first century Christians, I can't say Christians yet because it doesn't call them Christians, but the first century believers and followers here, the early church, were called people of the way. And there's different scholars and different commentators that speculate on where that came from or how that name came about. I believe it's only used in the book of Acts, talking about the church group collectively as being the way. But it's mentioned throughout the book of Acts that we'll see several times here. But I thought that was kind of interesting that here the early church was, as a group, is called the way. Some people's opinion is that, well, they were called the way versus what Judaism was, what the old law was. So they're called the way versus, okay, the Jewish religion was one way and following Christ was the other way, was the way. So it was like a different direction or a different focus on trying to separate followers of Christ from the Jews, trying to separate the early church as a separate group, a separate identity from the Jewish community. We see further in the book of Acts, in Acts 22, okay, so in Acts 22, let's read verses 1 through 5, and it says, "Brethren and fathers," so this is Paul's defense here, and he says, "Hear my defense which I now offer to you." And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew dialect, they became even more quiet, and he said, "I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in the city, educated under Gamaliel, strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you are all today." Then he says, "I persecuted this way to the death, binding and putting both men and women into prisons, as also the high priest and all the council and the elders can testify. From them I also received letters to the brethren and started off for Damascus in order to bring those even to were there to Jerusalem as prisoners to be punished." So here Paul, in his defense and one of his opportunities for defense, calls the early church this way. So there was a group of believers, a group of followers that were identified as following Christ, and they were known as this group called the way. And he would, part of that persecution, persecution there in his earlier years. In Acts 19, and this story is about when Paul was in Ephesus, and he had stayed there for quite some time. And starting in verse 8, talking about the Apostle Paul now at this time, and he says, "He entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the people, he withdrew from them and took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. This took place for 2 years, so that all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks." So here we start to see some ridicule. We start to see some kind of maybe some persecution and things going on about this new group of people called the way, that were followers of Christ. Later on in Paul's defense again, well, here in this other passage in Acts 19, in the same chapter, later on it says, "Now when these things were finished, Paul purposed in the Spirit to go to Jerusalem after he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. And having sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him Timothy and Erastus, he himself stayed in Asia for a while. And about that time, there occurred no small disturbance concerning the way. So when Christian persecution, you know, was growing in the first century, people were making fun of and ridiculing and persecuting this group of people, the way. And there were different ways that that was being done, but we see that there was a disturbance, a persecution that was arising about people that were of the way. Later on in Paul's defense, we'll see he's talking to Felix the governor in Acts chapter 24, but down in verse 14, he's talking to Felix, and he says, "But I admit to you that according to the way, which they call a sect, I do serve the God of our fathers." So we know in the Jewish religious community, they had different sects. They had the Pharisees, they had the Sadducees, they had others that were part of the religious community. So some were saying, well, this group called the Way is basically a sect of the Jewish religion. It's a sect, a part of, a section of the Jewish religion, a section of the Jewish community. And so they were trying to separate themselves as a separate entity, a separate identity from the Jewish religion, from the Jews. In verse 22, towards the end of that chapter, after Paul finishes his defense, he says, "But Felix, having a more exact knowledge about the way, put them off, saying, when Lysias the commander comes down, I will decide your case." So here the governor, Felix, if you said, "Hey, Felix, what is the way?" Okay, the way is a group of people that follow after Christ, after this Jesus that was here in Jerusalem and had died. So it was a popular, kind of a popular name for this group of people at that time. And a lot of people speculate, well, the reason that this group of people was called the Way is because of this famous passage in John 14 about the words of Jesus. And where Jesus is telling his disciples, "I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I go, you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." So some scholars and commentators say, well, this is where they got the name. What do we call this group of people that are now serving Christ? What do we call this group of people that are followers, believers? Well, let's call them the way, because Jesus says, "I am the way." So we're following this way that Jesus talks about. So that makes sense. That could be a logical conclusion there. In Matthew 7, Jesus says there in the Sermon on the Mount, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." So here, just another passage that Jesus talking about the way. And this way that Jesus is talking about is a narrow way. The narrow way are those who are following him. Is a narrow way compared to the rest of the world. The rest of the world is following the wide, the broad way, which is their own way. Here in Acts 11, when it's talking about Paul and Antioch, and it's we won't read all this, but we look down to the last verse in verse 26, and it says, "For an entire year that they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." And a lot of times when I read this, where, you know, we often use this verse, well, the people were first called Christians in Antioch. Oh, that's interesting. Well, what were they called before that? Well, perhaps, you know, they were called people of the way, that they used this other name, you know, that we are the Way, and the community, the religious community and others knew them as the Way. So it says that there was a disturbance concerning the Way. So here it says, well, they're first called Christians in Antioch. So we see kind of a change in what these people are now called. And so we only see the description of the Way used in the book of Acts. It's not referred to anymore in the rest of the New Testament. And now we see kind of from here out that people are now called Christians. And Christians know that, you know, they're still the people following the way of Jesus. But I thought this kind of interesting that now here's some time later, you know, so they met for an entire year with the church and taught considerable numbers. So when Paul was in Ephesus, we know that he was there at least 2 to 3 years. So, you know, during this time and on his missionary travels, you know, starting all these churches and talking and preaching to people, that they decided to call themselves Christians at some point there in the first century. So when we think about the way of Jesus, when Jesus said, "I am the way," what does that mean? What was he talking about? And when we look at these different, some of these different descriptions or different roads, these are all ways that Jesus helps us, that he's our path, he's the route, he's the method, he's the system. So you can understand when people say, we're people of the way, well, what does that mean? The way to what? Well, Jesus is the way to God. Jesus is the way to truth. He's the way to life. He's the way to peace, the way of prayer, the way of service, the way of suffering, and the way to glory. So everything as Christians, everything has to go through Jesus. He's the way. He's the road. He's the method, the system, the passageway, the doorway to get to God. And when I think about this, I think of my next slide. That are we people of the way? And for me, if I kind of break this down in its simplest form, when I think of the way, think about it as simple as a choice that you make. So if I'm constantly thinking about the way, every time I make a choice or a decision daily or whenever, I have to think of, well, am I thinking about doing it God's way, or am I thinking about doing it my way? Is my choice, is it what I want to do, or is it what God wants me to do? And when we think about the way, I think it can be a motivator of how we live our life, of how we choose our life. Knowing that I can't direct my own life, and knowing that, you know, the way I choose things is not the right way. But if I think about the way, then I think it's going to help me and encourage me to make godly decisions. You know, am I living my life according to what God's way is instead of my own way? And I like this passage here in Proverbs 12:28. It says, in the way of righteousness of life, in its pathway, there is no death. So the way that we serve God, the system, the method, the process, the truth, all those things, and how we serve God leads to life, leads to eternal life, leads to an abundant life here. And its pathway is no death. There's no separation from God. There's no eternal punishment if we choose the way of God. So, in closing, which way are you going? Here's a sign that hopefully you'll never see on the road. Or maybe this sign here. I would definitely be stuck at the corner there. And there's a lot more signs like this of confusing road signs. That's maybe why they made GPSs in the first place. You know, I don't know. So as we, you know, think about, hopefully we can think about these verses and these scriptures and think about the choices that we make. And when we talk about others, talk to others about Christ, you know, try to get them to think about, well, which way are they headed? You know, how are they making their choices? Which direction are they going? And it's something for all of us to think about the how we live our life, how we make our choices, and which direction we're all going. So if there's anyone here this evening that is in need of the invitation in any way, if we can help you through baptism or through prayers, please make that known while we come forward and stand and sing.